Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. Today we are discussing the last part of Drona's life. So, in the last session we discussed 13th day, how Drona, under the influence of the heat of the moment, hatched an evil plan to kill the unstoppable Abhimanyu on the 13th day. And as Abhimanyu fell, the Kauravas erupted in celebration. And hearing the celebration, the Pandavas, who had been trapped outside the Chakravyuh, could infer what had happened. Yudhishthir's heart sank into a bottomless abyss of dismay, horror and disgust with himself. He couldn't get over the thought that it was for his own protection that he had offered a 16-year-old lad to the Kaurava hordes, like an animal offered for sacrifice and slaughter. Utterly devastated, he couldn't bring himself together. At that time, Vyasadev came and consoled him. And we will discuss these pastimes later. Right now, we are focusing on Drona. That evening, when Arjuna came back, nobody could look at him, face him in the eye. And finally we entered into the tent where all the warriors would meet in the evening to take stock of the day's war. He looked at the place where Abhimanyu would sit, and the throne was empty. And Arjuna's heart almost stopped beating. And when Arjuna heard about all that had happened, he fell to the ground and devastated agony, and gradually his grief changed into rage, and he took a vow that by tomorrow evening I will either kill Jayadrath or I will enter into fire. And hearing this vow of Arjuna, suddenly the gloom that had descended into the Pandava camp lifted, and they felt that with Arjuna so resolved, so enraged, the next day would be a great victory for them. And the Pandavas started blowing their conches and beating drums and beating cymbals and celebrating. On the other side, the Kauravas had gathered to assess their day, and Duryodhana was delighted. And he was congratulating Drona on the success in killing Abhimanyu. And he was suggesting to Dronacharya, maybe tomorrow you can set up Chakravyuh once again. And tomorrow, maybe we'll trap Arjuna himself, or Yudhishthira we can trap. Abhimanyu had been one of the foremost warriors on the Pandava side. And Duryodhana thought that with Abhimanyu being killed, Abhimanyu who was so dear to Arjuna, Arjuna would be demoralized, and it would be easier to defeat him on the next day. And as they were celebrating and plotting for the next day, suddenly they heard shouts of jubilation and celebration from the Pandava side. And they looked at each other in surprise. They said, the Pandava should be lamenting, not blowing their conches in jubilation. And at that moment, suddenly into the camp ran in Jayadrath. His face was white, a mask of terror. And he told Duryodhana, looking at him with wild eyes, his breath panting, his words coming out slurred. He said, that wicked one was born by the lusty Indra of Kunti, that wretched Partha, has resolved to kill me tomorrow. Oh Duryodhana, I am planning to flee to the Himalayas to save my life. Unless you guarantee my protection, I am leaving right now. So, Jayadrath was trembling as he was speaking. Duryodhana looked at Jayadrath, looked at Dronacharya, and his eyes lit up at the opportunity. And Jayadrath described how Arjuna had taken a vow that either he would kill, or he would kill Jayadrath, or he would enter fire. So Duryodhana told Jayadrath, don't worry. He said, with Drona, Karna, Kripa, Ashwatthama, Shalya, Kritavarma, I, Dushasan, all of us will protect you tomorrow. Arjuna will not even be able to see you. Do not worry. And saying like this, he assured him. And he told Dronacharya, Acharya, tomorrow you can arrange the army in such a way that Arjuna will never be able to reach Jayadrath. So Drona looked at Jayadrath. And he knew that Jayadrath was already as good as dead, or as bad as dead, whatever we want to say. He knew that for Arjuna alone, it would be impossible to cross over the Kaurava army. But Arjuna was not alone. Arjuna was with Krishna, and with Krishna, what to speak of the entire Kaurava army, Arjuna could cross over not just the army of the Danavas, but the army of the Danavas and the Devatas combined together. There was just no way that Jayadrath could survive. He was already a dead man. Drona knew that he had a duty to offer protection, but he couldn't avoid giving Jayadrath a warning. He said, it'll be extremely difficult for Arjuna to reach you, but do not worry. For a Kshatriya, there is nothing more glorious than dying on the battlefield. Jayadrath couldn't stop trembling on hearing this. And Dronacharya continued, oh, you have lived virtuously, you have given charity, you have done your Kshatriya dharma. Even if you die, you will attain heavens. So Duryodhana could not tolerate the idea of Jayadrath dying. He said, don't worry, you know, we will protect you. Arjuna will never be able to reach you. And the next day, when the battle started, it was a massive formation, several miles broad and far more miles deeper. And it was almost impossible for anyone to penetrate it. And right at the front of it stood Dronacharya, who, when Arjuna tried to penetrate, Dronacharya was ready to challenge him. And Arjuna offered his respects to Dronacharya from the distance, and he said that, oh Acharya, you are my preceptor, you have always been my well-wisher. Please allow me to fulfill my vow today. Dronacharya did not reply by words. He replied by arrows. He shot a series of arrows at Arjuna. Arjuna shot back arrows fiercely. The arrows kept shooting each other again and again and again. And it looked like a battle in which neither side could possibly win. As the battle went on and on, Krishna told Arjuna, Arjuna, this battle with Dronacharya can go on all day. You don't have time right now. Don't waste time with him. So, goaded by Krishna's words, Arjuna suddenly shot a series of arrows rapidly. And as he shot those arrows one by one by one, what happened? Suddenly, Drona was taken back, stunned by this temporary attack, stunned temporarily by this severe attack. And by the time Drona recovered, Krishna had expertly maneuvered Arjuna's chariot by the side of Drona and charged ahead through the enemy formation. Drona turned himself around and tried to challenge Arjuna. Oh Partha, where are you going? Have you become afraid? But Arjuna paid no attention to him. And Drona shot arrows, but Krishna took the chariot so fast that Drona's arrows fell short. And Dronacharya knew that he would soon meet Arjuna when he would near Jayadrath. So Arjuna had to break his way through the army formation, enemy army formation, whereas Dronacharya went through his way. It was his own army, so they parted for him to move forward. And Dronacharya went right by the side of Jayadrath, close by. So there were several levels of protection. Karana and Ashwatthama were on the two sides right next to him. Dronacharya was a further ahead in protection. And Arjuna kept going forward, breaking down all the walls of the armies that Drona's military formation had erupted. And as they all fell, one by one by one, all of them fell. And eventually, what resulted was, Arjuna was just moving forward, destroying the Kaurava army. And Duryodhana went up to Dronacharya and he said, oh Acharya, how is it possible that Partha alone is destroying our entire army? Please do something. You know, you are our commander, you are meant to protect us. Leave alone arresting Yudhishthir, we will not be able to even protect Jayadrath the way Arjuna is progressing. And hearing this, Dronacharya shook his head wearily. He said, you yourself saw how I tried to confront Arjuna, and Arjuna refused to engage with me. And he said, anyway, I have to be here because I will check Arjuna when he reaches here. Drona knew that their situation was an emergency. The Pandavas had thought their strategy well. While Arjuna had penetrated way ahead into the enemy camp, the other warriors had stood behind. And they were engaging all the major Kaurava warriors, and no one was there, no major Maharatha was there who could challenge Arjuna. And at that time, Dronacharya said, there is only one Maharatha who is right now available to stop Arjuna. So, it is you, O King. Duryodhana looked at Dronacharya in surprise and shock and shame. He said, oh Acharya, do not joke like this. I might be able to confront even Indra, but how do you expect me to contend with Partha? This is no time for joking. So Dronacharya said, don't worry, O Prince. I would never risk you. And I have no intention of offering you like a sacrificial lamb to Arjuna. But I have an impenetrable armor. And this armor, it is the armor of mantras. If I put it on you, then even Arjuna will not be able to wound you. And this way, you will be able to move forward. Actually, before this happened, when Duryodhana was goading Arjuna, Dronacharya, he said, please do something. So Dronacharya told him. Dronacharya initially became a little philosophical and he said, oh Prince, only endeavor is in our hands. And I have been endeavoring to the full of my capacity. Endeavor is in our hands, but the result is determined by destiny. And how can we get a favorable result when the Lord of Destiny is on the chariot of Arjuna? So Dronacharya demonstrated the knowledge here that Krishna was the Lord of Destiny, and he knew that any battle against Arjuna was doomed. But still, he had a duty and he performed his duty. And as he was performing the duty, they kept marching ahead, Arjuna's army. Arjuna was moving forward, and Duryodhana came right before him to challenge him. And they had a fierce fight. And although Duryodhana was in an impenetrable armor, still Arjuna knew that armor covered his entire body except the tip of his fingers. So Arjuna shot arrows right into his fingertips, and Duryodhana screeched in pain and dropped his weapons in agony. And Krishna and Arjuna, laughing, charged past Duryodhana, who had been reduced to helplessness. So in this way, Drona's attempt to empower Duryodhana was baffled by Arjuna's expertise. And as Dronacharya came finally right in front of Arjuna, and there was a fierce confrontation, and Drona was among the many warriors who tried to stop Arjuna at the last moment. But then Krishna used his mystic power to cover the sun, and thereby Jayadrath was slain. We'll discuss that story more in detail when we talk about Arjuna. But here, so Dronacharya again on the 14th day, he faced a severe reversal when Arjuna killed Jayadrath. And then there was another fierce fight in which Ghatotkaj was destroying the Kaurava armies, and finally Karna had to use a Shakti weapon by which Ghatotkaj was finally killed. And this battle happened actually in the night. After Bhishma fell, then the Kshatriya codes also started falling by the wayside. And the warriors kept fighting, often by unethical means, and they often fought well into the night instead of ending the hostilities by evening. And on this particular day, as they kept fighting, then Ghatotkaj finally was overpowered by Karna. But Ghatotkaj, when he fell, he enlarged his body and killed a huge amount of Kaurava forces. And Duryodhana wanted to press home the advantage, because Ghatotkaj had been a formidable warrior who had been killed, and the Pandavas would have been demoralized. But Drona saw that all the warriors, all the soldiers were exhausted. They're practically, they're so exhausted, their eyes were drooping and closing, and they were hacking their swords and their maces almost with closed eyes, not knowing whether they were hitting enemies or friends. So seeing this, Arjuna went forward and he said, oh warriors, now you may desist. All of you are very tired. You can rest wherever you are, and tomorrow morning we'll continue the fight. So when the warriors heard this, they expressed their relief, and Dronacharya also consented. So Duryodhana was enraged on Dronacharya's consent, and he charged with Dronacharya. He said, we had an advantage. Why did you stop?
We should have pressed home the advantage after the killing of Ghatotkach. Now, you are always too soft on the Pandavas because you are partial towards them. Dronacharya could take Duryodhana's taunts no more. And he exploded at Duryodhana. He said, "Oh Prince, you are vile, selfish, and blind to everything except your own interests. And that's why you chastise those who work tirelessly for your own interests. Can't you see how tired the warriors were? How exhausted the soldiers were? They couldn't keep their eyes open while fighting. How could you expect them to fight in such a situation? As the commander, it was my duty to think of the well-being of the soldiers. And that is what I did. So Duryodhana was still angry and he said, I along with Dushyasana, Karna and Shakuni will kill Arjuna and Bhima and end the war ourselves. So hearing this, Drona laughed scornfully. He said, "Now where is the warrior who can face Partha when he is angry? Haven't you already seen Partha's power? That our entire army with all our warriors could not stop him from killing Jayadrath? May good betide you, O Prince. If words could bring results, then you would be victorious indeed." And Drona turned away, unable to tolerate the anger, not wanting to waste his breath on Duryodhana anymore. He says, nothing gave him more pain than having to fight on the side of this evil prince. He wondered what bad karma he had done that now he had to fight on the side of Duryodhana against his beloved Pandavas. But still, duty beckoned him. And on the 15th morning, Dronacharya again led the Kaurava forces. And Dronacharya fought with a maniac fury. And Duryodhana's words were still rankling him. The accusation of partiality was something which no Kshatriya could tolerate. And Kshatriya is expected to fight in a sportsmanly spirit. And this idea of affection, of partiality to affection, was goading him. And he fought with a maniac fury. And that day, he decided to fall upon the Matsya and the Panchala forces and he started destroying them. And Drupada and Virata, they were two elderly monarchs, and both of them attacked Dronacharya and he fought fiercely with them. And both Drupada and Virata were heroes. They were also Maharathas and they fought fiercely. And one time Drupada shot a series of arrows that severely stunned Dronacharya. And Dronacharya, after a few moments of swooning, recovered and he resolved to kill these two warriors. And in a short succession, he used divine astras and shot arrows fiercely. And right in front of all the Pandava warriors, these two elder, both Drupada and Virata, were killed by Dronacharya. And seeing this, Dhrishtadyumna's sons charged forwards. And Drupada and Drona killed them. And he started slaughtering the Pandava forces. And Drona was fighting with such fury that nobody could stop him. And at that time, Yudhishthira went up to Krishna, who was on Arjuna's chariot. And Bhima was also nearby. And Yudhishthira said to Krishna that, "Oh Keshava, Dronacharya seems unstoppable. It seems that he will destroy our whole army today." And Drishtadyumna, who was also nearby, Bhima goaded Drishtadyumna and he said, "Now what man can watch on while an enemy kills his father as well as his sons?" He says, "If you are not going to kill Drona, then I will kill him myself." And Drishtadyumna, goaded by Bhima's words, charged upon Dronacharya. But he was no match. And Dronacharya's fierce assault checked Drishtadyumna and he was left helplessly powerless against Dronacharya's attack. And as the Pandavas were conferring, Krishna said, "Yes, we must stop the Acharya, otherwise we will lose this war. Remember, O Yudhishthir, what Dronacharya had told you when you had asked him about how he could be killed." Yudhishthir's mind went back to the first day of the war. Just before the battle had started, after Krishna had spoken the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Arjuna's bewilderment had ended, then Yudhishthira had got off his chariot and gone to the side of the Pandavas. to the side of the Kauravas, weaponless. And he had bowed down to all his elders, Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, and Shalya. And he had begged them for their blessings. And they had all, seeing his humility and his respect for his elders, had blessed him. And Yudhishthir had the immensely difficult duty of having to ask his elders how they could be felled. And when he had asked Dronacharya, he says, "Oh Acharya, you are invincible. How will we be able to win against you?" Dronacharya had replied that, "As long as I have raised my weapons and I am fighting, nobody will be able to overpower me. But on hearing a disagreeable news from a trustworthy source, I will put aside my weapons and only then will I be killed." So Krishna reminded Yudhishthir of this. And he told Yudhishthir that, "Tell Dronacharya that Ashwatthama has been killed. Then he will put aside his weapons and then we will be able to kill him." Arjuna protested on hearing this. "Oh Krishna, I cannot tolerate this idea. This is lie. We cannot speak a lie to anyone like this. What to speak of an Acharya, our own teacher?" Yudhishthir thought about it. Before Yudhishthir could reply, Bhima had heard Krishna's words. And Bhima charged into the Kaurava ranks. And as he charged into the Kaurava ranks, there was an elephant warrior, Hiranyavarma, and he had a elephant. His name was Ashwatthama. And Bhima used his huge mace and banged the elephant on the head. And the elephant's skull broke apart and it died on the spot. And then Bhima charged near Dronacharya and he said, "Ashwatthama is dead, Ashwatthama is dead, Ashwatthama is dead." And Drona heard this. It was as if his legs disappeared and they became like liquid and he fell on the ground. You know, he loved Ashwatthama and the thought of Ashwatthama dying was intolerable. And as darkness descended over his head, in utter gloom, he thought, pulled himself together. He said, "No." Remembering Ashwatthama's prowess, he thought, "No, Ashwatthama could not have been killed." And he knew Bhima's nature. And Bhima could play a devious trick, either out of fun or out of deviousness. Could speak a lie like this. So he just pushed the thought outside and he again pulled himself together and started fighting. So now the Panchala and the Matsya forces, seeing that their king had been killed by Dronacharya, attacked him with a ferocity like never before. And as Drona was hit by their arrows, Drona took a Brahmastra and he shot the Brahmastra at these forces. And suddenly the whole battlefield was littered with corpses. Thousands and thousands of soldiers were just lying dead because of that one weapon. And as Dronacharya stood there, having destroyed huge amounts of the Pandava army, Yudhishthir, seeing this, was shocked. And Krishna told him, "Just see, O Yudhishthir, this is what the Acharya will do if we do not stop him." And Krishna told Yudhishthir that the Vedas say that although we should normally speak the truth, but when it is a matter of survival, when one is fighting against an enemy who is bent on killing one and there is no other way to survive, at that time speaking a lie is not considered wrong. In fact, at such times speaking a lie is the truth, because one maintaining one's life is the basis of truth. One cannot pursue truth in life unless one has life. One cannot attain the absolute truth unless one has life. Therefore, to speak whatever is required so that one can live and one can pursue the absolute truth, that is truth. So please do the needful. Yudhishthir had till now never spoken even an indirect lie. A total falsehood was difficult to even contemplate, what to speak of utter. But still Krishna was telling him. And he could not refuse Krishna's words, and at the same time he could not neglect the pragmatic nature of Krishna's advice. He knew that Dronacharya would destroy their army. With a heavy heart, he approached Dronacharya. And as Dronacharya stood there on his chariot, having destroyed the Brahmastra and huge amounts of the Pandava forces, suddenly in the sky, he saw the sages appearing. He saw his own father Bharadwaj and other great sages, and they were in a mystical form which he alone could see. Nobody else could see them. And the sages spoke to him, "Oh Dronacharya, you are fighting most heinously by using celestial weapons against ordinary soldiers. You have committed a great sin. Stop these wicked activities right now. Put aside your weapons. Fight no more." As Drona heard the chastising word of the sages, he felt troubled. He felt troubled. And then again the news of Ashwatthama's death, although he tried to shake it away, it still burdened him. He looked around and whom could he ask about Ashwatthama's death? And he saw Yudhishthir. He knew that Yudhishthir would never speak a lie. So he went right up to Yudhishthir. And as Yudhishthir saw Dronacharya approaching, Krishna called out, "Oh Yudhishthir, there the Acharya approaches you. Save all of us and do whatever is required for saving all of us." Yudhishthir steeled himself. And as Dronacharya appeared, he says, "Ashwatthama is dead." And as he spoke this, he could not speak a complete lie. And Ashwatthama is dead, and he spoke softly, "Not the man, but the elephant." But as he spoke, "Not the man, but the elephant," Krishna blew his conch shell. As Krishna blew his conch shell, those words which were spoken softly, they got covered over. Dronacharya did not hear it. And as Yudhishthira spoke these words, Dronacharya was devastated. Just put aside and was born, "Ashwatthama, Ashwatthama, Ashwatthama," calling out. He started lamenting. And as he was lamenting in this way, Drishtadyumna, seeing his opportunity, challenged Dronacharya and attacked him. Drona had lost all heart to fight. And as he lost all his heart to fight, he was lamenting the death of Ashwatthama. Drishtadyumna mounted his attack, seeing his opportunity, as arrow after arrow thudded into Dronacharya's body. Dronacharya was jolted by the pain, and he decided to lift his bow and make one final effort. And he started shooting arrows. Arrow after arrow he started shooting, countering Drishtadyumna. Drishtadyumna, he had just thought he was going to win, and suddenly he found Drona unstoppable. And as Dronacharya was shooting arrows, suddenly he looked back, and his quiver, which by celestial arrangement had been inexhaustible for the last 15 days, had suddenly become empty. And he tried to look for arrows. There were no arrows. He tried to chant mantras to invoke celestial weapons, and the mantras did not come to his mind. And he remembered the words of the sages. Feeling that he had done a sinful activity, he was troubled. Thinking that his son was dead, his trouble increased manifold. And he put aside his bow. And seeing in the distance, he saw Duryodhan, Dushasan, and he said, "Oh Kauravas, fight this war as Kshatriyas should. I will not fight anymore. I have decided to end my fight." And he sat on his chariot with closed eyes in a mystic pose for yoga asan, and he decided to leave his body. He closed his eyes, and he was himself having yogic potency. And those with the divine vision saw that as he closed his eyes and lost himself in meditation, his soul left his body and joined with the higher beings who had come to call him. Drishtadyumna, seeing that Dronacharya was no longer fighting, saw his opportunity. And he picked up a sword and charged towards Dronacharya. And several of the warriors from both sides, the Kauravas and the Pandavas, shouted to Drishtadyumna, "Stop! It's a heinous activity! You cannot do this! Stop!" As Drishtadyumna, blinded by rage, did not pay any attention. And he charged towards Dronacharya, caught his hair, the tuft of hair that was on the back of his head, and he charged him. And he lifted him up, and with a swipe of his sword, he cut off the head of Dronacharya. And he screamed. He said, "Now I have fulfilled my vow, the destiny for which I had been born. The death of Drona has now been fulfilled." Everybody was horrified by the brutality of Drishtadyumna in killing Arjuna, in killing Dronacharya. So, was it ethical for Drona to be killed like this? Like, this was a troubling issue, and this was something which troubled not just people who have hearing the Mahabharata, but even those who participated in the Mahabharata. Even the Pandavas themselves had severe misgivings about the way Drishtadyumna had acted. And after Drona was killed in this way by Drishtadyumna, Bhima started celebrating. Yes, now Drona is dead. But Arjuna was sober. He said, "Take the chariot close to Dronacharya. I want to offer my respects to the preceptor." Yudhishthira was also filled with misgivings. He was happy that now that the war was coming towards the end with the fall of Drona. But the way it had been brought up through deceit, he had apprehensions. And Arjuna couldn't restrain himself. And he said, "Drishtadyumna, what you had done was unspeakably barbaric. So how could you kill him like this? You know, he's a preceptor. He deserved our respect, not our deceit." And he turned towards Yudhishthira and he said, "O king, he came to you seeking information in good faith and you deceived him. You'll forever be tainted by sin." Tears came in Arjuna's eyes and he thought about how his own disciples had betrayed his teacher. And Bhima, however, could not be contained. And he said, "O Arjuna, at a time when appreciation is deserved, why are you giving condemnation? You know that the life of a Kshatriya is harsh. And you know how the Kauravas had acted against us. If you wanted to give discourses on morality, then there was no need for you to come to the war." And he said, "Drona, he is meant to be a Brahmin. A Brahmana is never meant to fight. By fighting, and that too, fighting on the side of evil, he had lost all dharma, and there was no wrong in killing him in whatever way was possible." Arjuna remained silent, seeing that both Yudhishthir and Krishna remained silent. Arjuna did not speak anything, but he glanced angrily at Drishtadyumna. Drishtadyumna said, "O Partha, I do not think that I have done anything wrong. I was born to kill Dronacharya, and whatever way it was to be achieved, it has been achieved now. Now is the time for us to celebrate that now our ultimate victory is closer." He said, and as Bhima has said, that this evil-minded Brahmin, he had not only sided with the evil Duryodhana, but it also orchestrated the killing of Abhimanyu. After he had orchestrated something so barbaric, "I don't think there's anything wrong in killing him," he said. "Although I should be angry with the words that you have spoken to me, because of my love for you and because of my love for Draupadi, I forgive you." Arjuna was furious, but he remained quiet. That time Satyaki got up and he said, when he heard his teacher and his teacher's teacher both being cruelly spoken about in this way, he said, "Is there no one who will straighten this evil-minded Drishtadyumna, who is the killer of his own teacher?" He said, "If no one is there, then today I will kill him." And Satyaki took up his weapons and started charging towards Drishtadyumna. Drishtadyumna said, "Oh, son of Sini, you are but a child. And what right do you have to speak about morality to me when you yourself killed Burisharava in an immoral way?" That had happened on the 14th day of the war, and we'll discuss it later when we talk about Arjuna. But he said, "I neglect you, I forgive you." He said, Satyaki was so angry, he said, "You do not deserve any forgiveness and I will kill you right now." And Satyaki started charging towards Drishtadyumna. And Krishna signaled, and immediately Bhima and Sahadev came in between. Sahadev stopped Satyaki, Bhima stopped Drishtadyumna. Put his arms around Drishtadyumna and checked him. Drishtadyumna said, "Break free." He said, "Let me go, Bhima. I will kill Satyaki right now." And As they were fighting and arguing in this way, suddenly they heard the Kaurava forces charging back. Ashwatthama had come to know about the fall of Drona, and he was charging at the head of the Kauravas, out to take revenge. And Yudhishthira told the soldiers, says, "We are all in great danger now. This is not the time to fight for all of us. You know, you are both, Satyaki and Drishtadyumna are both important warriors in my army. Please put aside your mutual differences for a higher cause." And reluctantly they parted and they got ready to fight. So the point here is that even among the Pandava forces, there were misgivings about the way Drona was killed. So we know that Arjuna had been able to overpower Drona at Virat. Drona was among the many warriors whom Arjuna had overpowered single-handedly. So Arjuna could have overpowered Drona even here also. Then why was it that the deceit was used? Actually, in the Mahabharata, what is demonstrated is practical morality. Practical morality means shathoshathyam. With the cunning, one can be cunning. That when somebody is out to destroy a person and the person has no scruples, then if the evil side is ready to be scrupleless, to be moralless, then the good may also have at times to resort to similar things. So that practical morality is demonstrated over here. And even relatively speaking, if we see, if we compare the evil, the Pandavas are overall virtuous, and there's no comparison between their virtue and the Kauravas' virtue. The Pandavas never attempted to take the kingdom of the Kauravas. The Pandavas never attempted to disrobe the Kauravas' queen. The Pandavas never conspired to have the Kauravas burned. From the relative point of view, the Kauravas are far more immoral than the Pandavas. And again, from the relative point of view, if we consider the killing of Abhimanyu and the killing of Drona, the killing of Drona was an impulsive act of one warrior. Drishtadyumna lost his head and at one particular moment he just went and barbarically killed Drona. That was certainly bad, but then what Drona was a part of, not just what Drona was a part of, what Drona instigated was far more reprehensible. Now, it was an organized conspiracy to kill Abhimanyu. So, Drona was cool-headed, he knew what he was doing, and all the Kaurava warriors on his side knew what they were doing, at six Maharathas simultaneously attacking one 16-year-old boy, and then a seventh warrior killing him after he had been totally exhausted. This is completely against the codes of morality. So relatively speaking, one hot-headed crime and another cold-blooded conspiracy, if we compare, there is no comparison. The barbarousness of Abhimanyu's death far exceeds the death of any barbarousness that was there in the death of Drona. So through this, what the Mahabharata illustrates to all of us is that actually in this world, the morality is very difficult to determine. And sometimes even the moral may have to choose immoral actions. And we see the Pandavas in general did not choose immorality. Yudhishthira hesitated. And even when Yudhishthira lied, his intention was never to kill Dronacharya in such a bad way. So when he killed him, Drishtadyumna, it was Drishtadyumna's own crime. And now if you see, there are many other factors involved over here. The other factors are that Dronacharya's quiver got exhausted. The sages told him that you are fighting sinfully. And Dronacharya himself put aside his bow and arrow. So in that sense, Dronacharya knew in advance that such a thing is going to happen. Maybe not exact details, but the very fact that he made a prophecy right at the beginning of the war, that on hearing disagreeable news from a reliable source, I'll put aside my weapons. That's what exactly happened. That means there are higher powers moving over here. Now, Drishtadyumna was destined to kill Drona, and Drishtadyumna, as far as military prowess was concerned, was no match to Drona. So Drishtadyumna had been born by the blessings of Shiva, and the words of Shiva had to come true eventually. So there are various factors involved in this by which Drona was killed. And even if that is Drona's killing is considered immoral, still there are two factors. One is that it demonstrates that immorality may be required while fighting against those who are totally immoral. And relatively speaking, one man's hot-headed immorality is far less culpable than a cold-blooded conspiracy of several Maharathas, all of whom who should have known better. So Drona's life demonstrates overall how a gallant warrior, our gallant Brahmana, who chose the role of Kshatriya, sided with evil, and because of siding with evil, had to meet with an unfortunate end. So Dronacharya is famed for his great capacity as a teacher, for his capacity to produce great students, and for his own heroism. And his overall life, if we put aside some of the evil things that he did under the influence of the bad association of Duryodhana and his constant goading, still his life, if you put aside those few things, his life overall is glorious. And he's one of the most captivating characters in the Mahabharata, who stands tall as a glorious teacher and mentor and warrior. Thank you. Hare Krishna.